Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it certainly is wonderful to see everyone tonight. I don't have anything but just maybe a little word of encouragement and exhortation. I feel like, you know, I've had thoughts in my mind, but nothing seemed to gel today when I was thinking about the service, so I'm not going to worry about it. But, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. Every single one of us has needs. If you're still here, we're not at the end of our journey, are we? And there are things the Lord is still doing in us. There are still needs as we come together. And I believe the Lord wants to simply encourage us to reach out. You know, reach out and touch the Lord is a song that we sing. I'll throw this in there. I learned that before I ever came to this church, and we sang it. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. But that's all right. We can sing it our way. But praise God. God wants us to, you know, somebody, one of the brothers was talking to me before, and the thought came up about how God wants us to have a part. He just doesn't do things automatically. He wants us to reach out. And we know there's a scripture that says you have not because you ask not. Now, of course, there is an asking, as James goes on and talks about in that particular passage, that's based upon what I want, naturally speaking. And that's not what he's going after. But you know, the reality is we know what the Lord wants from us if we're honest with the scriptures. He's looking for character. He's looking for relationship. He's certainly not looking for religion and just a set of beliefs and here's how we do stuff. He's looking for a people that want to be like him. Isn't that what the whole point of calling us to the gospel, through the gospel, is? To make us like his son. And of course, he doesn't just do that, but with instruction, he comes in and lives in us. That's the essence of the gospel. It's not just a religion to practice, it's a life to live, because he lives it in us. And the more we see of him coming out, the more it's what he's after. And we're the problem. We're the one that's in the way. But is he up to the job? Is he able to finish what he started? Is there anything that you and is there anything that you and I need tonight that he hasn't thought about, that he doesn't know about, that he hasn't made a provision for? I mean, he's not looking at Brother Carl and say, oh my God, I didn't anticipate that. Or I would be better me than Carl if he's going to find that kind of thing. But I'll tell you, God wants us to live with the reality, and not just as a theory that we sing about, to really realize that God knows what you need. And I don't know if you just came here because, well, I just want to see everybody and feel good, or just go through another convention and say, you know, go on our way. God wants us to take new ground in our lives and gain things that we haven't had before and go out of here different than we came in. Otherwise, it's just a fun time, and then we just go home. But I believe God wants to take us further than we have ever been. I believe he wants to share with us going forward a deeper burden of why we're here. You know, a lot of times, I'm not going to get into this right now, but a lot of times from years ago, we had this expectation. It wasn't going to be long. It was going to be just... And here we are. God knew all about that. He wants us to live in the reality of the world he has called us to live in. As I've said so many times, we are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And he doesn't call us because, now there's somebody great, I can use them. It's probably the other way around. He finds, boy, there's some real garbage as far as people are concerned. But I know what I can do with them. If they'll just turn themselves over to me, I can take that and polish it up. I can clean it up. I can make something eternal out of nothing if I have to. There's no need that we bring in here that he cannot touch and help us to take new ground. And so I believe God, whatever the need is that you have in your heart tonight, God just wants us to reach out and ask him. How much more, Jesus said, will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, he's talking there about the parable of, you know, what kind of a father, if his child asks for a fish, will give him a stone. I don't remember the exact quote, but you remember what he was talking about there. But then the real issue is not fish and stones. The real issue is his Spirit. God has a heart that longs to reach out and touch the needs of your heart and mind, but he wants us not just to ask, but to ask and believe that he actually wants to hear from us. We are so bad to try to imagine that we've got to qualify ourselves to get anything from him. But my Bible tells me that Jesus qualified me. He has qualified me, and he has qualified you. There's not a thing that any one of us can begin to do that would qualify us for anything in the kingdom, to even be in the kingdom, let alone to have anything. But I'll tell you, God wants to pour out his Spirit upon his people and use us in this hour. He's the only one that knows the schedule. He's the only one that knows what we need and when we need it. But oh, there's an immediacy to living with him that he seeks. There's a relationship where we are made to know that I need this. I have a need here. And then immediately he wants us to turn to him and say, but you've already met that need. You know, what was the scripture that was quoted earlier tonight about how he's able to do more than we are able to ask or imagine? According to the power that is at work within us. I'll tell you, we have a generous, awesome God who knows what he's doing. He has not called us to come together and feel good and sing happy songs. He's called us to have a sense of where we're going. Didn't Paul live with that? Paul had an idea. He had a goal in mind. He wasn't just living a random life. He realized God has called me, and he called me for a reason, and he has set something before my heart. And so my life is defined by setting my sights up on that and every day putting one foot in front of another. Thank God. And learning never to be discouraged, never to give up, never to say, oh, well, that's just the way I am. Well, the way I am is something Jesus took care of on the cross. Praise God. But how many times do we just sit there and we either don't ask or we just go through the form of asking, but we don't really expect anything to happen or change? Or we're looking for some great something where we'd leap over into Canaan land and suddenly the problem is all gone, instead of step by step, whatever the process is that God is using to take us from point A to point B. Whether it's long and whether there's a battle to fight through or whether it's going to be one of these deals. But God knows what he is doing. He just wants a people that want him. What do you want tonight? What do I want? What do we really want? Do we want a convenient, comfortable religion where we can just come and like I say, sing happy songs and go on about our lives and just live for this that we see around us? Or has God called us to the kingdom, like I say, for such a time as this? I believe with all my heart he has. And we're not living in the past. We're not just trying to live out in the future somewhere. We're living right in today. What an awesome picture Paul paints there I can't remember where it is now. Praise God. Philippians 3, wherever it was, where he's talking about the fact that we can forget what's behind and we can reach for what's before. Man, that's a free life, isn't it? If I can get up in the morning and everything that happened yesterday, all of my mistakes, all of my shortcomings, I can lay them at the feet of the cross and agree with God about them, and he washes them away as if they had never happened, and we get up free in the morning and say, all right, Lord, help me. And it's like we were talking about Sunday. This relationship is not just something where we flip a switch when we walk through those doors back there. This is meant to be all day, every day, not I, but Christ. Lord, come forth in my life and help me to be the person that you want me to be. Praise God. Now, if you'd asked me a little while ago if I was going to get up and do any of this, I would have said, you're crazy. Guess what? The Lord actually expects me to walk in the stuff I say. Imagine that. But I'll tell you, if God can do what he just done in the last few minutes, he can do whatever you need. He's not looking for strength. He's not looking for goodness. He's looking for willing hearts that reach out to him. Say, Lord, not only do I lack this, not only do I know that you have it, but I know you want to give it to me. Look, the stuff that we know he wants to do in our character and changing us, setting us free from sins that just have clung to us. We know these are things that are part of his will. What does he say about that? If we ask, what we know, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, in agreement with his will, he's going to do it, right? That's what he's looking for. And so here, in a sense, we're coming, we're looking for God. God's looking for something from us. Do we really want more of him? Do we really want to know why we're here and to be about that the Master's business in living in this hour? I believe there's a people here that want that. And if God has to do something in your heart to bring you to that place, then may he do it. But I'll tell you, I want to be one that recognizes not only that I have a need, but saying, Lord, you have the answer to this need. And I am looking to you right now to work in my heart. As I say, I didn't even know I was going to say that much. So I'm going to open, I'm just going to sit down and just see what else the Lord has. But he's here, folks. We need to be reaching out. Reach out to Jesus, for he's reaching out to you. His hands are like this, but he wants something from us. He wants to know that we actually want him. Imagine that. But oh, there's a heart that wants to reach out to every one of you right where you're at, whatever your need, whatever you're feeling, whatever the devil may be oppressing you about. God knows about it. And we begin to reach forward, and we begin to press. God steps into the picture, and we find out we're not alone. There's a grace, there's a divine strength that begins to go to work on our behalf. But it doesn't happen until we take the step. You know, it's like when they crossed the Jordan River. We use that illustration many times, but when did the water move when the Israelites were going across? They had to step, didn't they? They couldn't stand there and say, Lord, you move the water, and we'll go. He said, you put your foot in, and the water parted, and they were able to go through. That's a pretty good principle that applies to every one of us. And he wants us to step forward and say, thank you, Lord. I'm trusting in you. So whatever your need is in this meeting, let's just look to God and believe together. And it's not just about me. That's another thing. We are so natured that we're going to just look in the mirrors and get all self-absorbed. Oh, my God, I'm such a mess. I got this need and I got that need. And, oh, what do people think of me? And the 1,001 things that don't make any sense at all. And how many times does the Lord really want us to stop and say, you know, I'm not exactly alone in this. There's nothing happening to me that isn't happening to everybody else. I need to start praying for them. I need to start saying, Lord, pour out your spirit into me and through me, not just so I can feel good, but so that I can actually share with somebody else, because that's what it's about. That's the divine nature. Even God isn't living there just for his own feelings. He's sharing himself with us. And he wants every one of us. If we're going to be like him, we're going to have to be sharing what we have with somebody else. I wonder how many times we're struggling and we're in this little, narrow little pool of self-pity. And the key is to get out of that and get your mind off of yourself and get on somebody else. Thinking about me here. But I think we're all like this. We all have varying needs along this line. So isn't the Lord good to us? I'm so glad so many of you are able to come, and I hope there are others that will. And for those who can't, well, praise God. We love you anyway. And we're just praying the Lord will have his way. Thank the Lord.
Wow. I just couldn't sit there because the things that Brother Phil had to say have been on my heart and mind for weeks now, since I even considered coming. for the possibility of being here. And first, I want to thank you all for your prayers. It's a joy to be here to fellowship with you. Thank you for your prayers, your cards, your love, your care for the past years, knowing what I've been walking through and just praying for me and loving me. That's been more than I can imagine from any situation. The past few years have been hard for all of us. For many of us have had many difficulties, and some more than others. But we know that as we focus on the Lord and what He has for us, He always comes through. One of the things that I learned many years ago and didn't really apply, I guess, to my life, because I was so busy serving the Lord in Africa for 30 years, you know, doing what God called my husband Richard to do and following in the footsteps and walking through every door that God opened for me. But there was a time when Richard and I spoke at Perspectives on World Missions. And God, for some reason, brought that back to me just recently, what they say in their book. So many Christians are in a spiritual rut. The definition of a rut is a grave open on both ends. They're bored doing the same old. Some are bewildered about how God's will and plan applies to them. Aren't sure where they're walking, whether they're walking in His will. Struggle to make decisions, unfamiliar with criteria other than their own self-interest. They grope for a meaning in the daily humdrum of life, having no larger context or vision than their own daily experience. Many have little or no vision for what God's plan and purpose is for them. They want to serve a cause, but have no agenda. Only dozens of disconnected opportunities and priorities. They read the Bible, they pray, they go to church, they do all the right things, they sing in the choir, they're on committees. Some of them even teach, and some of them even preach, but never truly experience the fullness of the abundant adventure of life daily walking in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Just before Joe passed away, he had come to really understand and know what the abundant life was about. When he was here with you guys, he described himself as a dirt ball, and I was a nun. And God took that dirt ball, and in less than 3 years, transformed him from a dirt ball who had lived all of his life, 70-some years, for himself, into a godly man walking in righteousness, seeking to glorify God. And one of the things that he found somewhere, and he printed it out, and as I've struggled in the last 6 months in the grief of losing my soulmate, I began to read some of the things he wrote. And one of the things in his journal, he said, "Lord, I'm just a little rough around the edges, an old guy." He said, "But I do want to walk in righteousness, and I want to glorify you with what I have." And somewhere he read this, I don't know where, but he said, "Prepare your heart and life, because I've come with my presence and love to reshape your present condition. My spirit has been speaking, calling you to come closer to me. Do not fear the unexpected. Put your faith and trust in me. Just like I called Peter to walk on the water, so I'm calling you to step out of your condition and enter the place of unexpected adventure. There you will find more of my presence, power, and love than ever before. It's time to stop thinking about your problems," which fits right in with what you said, brother. That's why I couldn't sit there. They're only stealing your focus away from your calling and purpose. I'm ready to bring my kingdom into your life so that you'll be transformed and represent the ways of heaven to those around you. Your world, your city, your nation, your generation are drowning, sinking into hopelessness and confusion. But I have given you my spirit, the very power of the resurrection. You will be more than witnesses. You will release the fullness of love. I am ready to invade you. Step out with me. Joe stepped out. In the brief few months and a couple of years that he really had with the Lord, he stepped out. He stepped out in full confidence that put me to shame. I've known the Lord almost 60 years. And here is a man who was so sold out to the Lord in such a short period of time that nothing could take away his understanding of where he was and who he was in Christ. And I really had to begin to review in the midst of my grief. And I was married, for those who don't know, I was married 58 years to an awesome man, served the Lord for 30 years in Kenya. And Richard died in Kenya, went back to Kenya after he died, came home with a whole new plan, places I'd never been, Western Kenya and Rwanda. And God said, no, I have another plan. I said, okay. And he brought Joe into my life. And I'm like, uh-huh. And the very first day that we met, he told me his life story, and the proud missionary in me said, you want my opinion? And he said, the first mistake he made was saying yes. And I said, until you confess where you've been and repent of the sin that you've been involved in, you will never know to the fullest the plan that God has for you. And I didn't say any more. And about a year and a half into our marriage, which was very quick, we met in November, engaged in December, and married in March. But Joe said at our age, we didn't buy green bananas, so it was okay. And about a year and a half into our relationship, I'm thinking, oh my word, what have I done? Here was a man I didn't know that the true guy came out. But what God said, Jane, I let you see the man of integrity that I created Joe to be, not the man he was at that moment. And I thought, oh dear, oh my. And as I ungodly reacted to some of his actions, because I was so shocked and so surprised, I'd never met anyone like that, I began to feel guilt and shame. And God, I'm useless. And here, Lord, I've served you 30 years. Why am I involved in this? I want to read something to you. It explains where we all are. It's by Gina Galston. Life is a journey, and there are things that happen along our journey that we will not always understand. And I didn't understand why God took Joe home, brought my soulmate into my life for 4 years and 6 months, and then took him home. But transformed him. Okay, that's fine, but what does that do for me? But if we trust God in faith and obedience and keep following him, he will order our steps down the path of his destiny for us. When you're old, and I find out most every place I go, I'm the oldest one, you often don't think about the next plan or the next thing. You say, okay, Lord, I've done my job. I served you. I've done this. I've done that. Who cares? Who cares what now? And she says, we emerge from every circumstance with a strong confidence and unshakable faith in God. Oh, Lord, how can I do that? How can I go through this? How can I understand it? There are events coming in this world, and I'm sure you're all aware, that those of us who have a faith like Abraham, Joseph, and David will be able to stand. Others will not. Others will fall, will sink. Remind yourself that God's faithfulness and all he has done for you. Stand firm. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. When we go through things, we emerge from circumstances with stronger confidence and unshakable faith. I'm great on acronyms. You probably know that after the few times I've been here. What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. What does all mean? It's the most profound, small word in the word. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Faith is forsaking all, I trust him. And I found it hard to do that after Joe passed away. What is love? The acronym for love: lordship, obedience, victory, everlasting. How many times in the word did Jesus ask the disciples, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love him?" If we love God and completely understand and believing his love for unconditional for us, that our sins are totally forgiven, nailed to the cross, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our position is sealed forever. Our condition is a work in progress. And I may have this story all wrong, but I have shared it 1,000 times. But Brother Don, who had the strokes, your Brother Don, how the men went over and shared a Christian program with him, and he came from the program, and he says, "Oh, man, did I learn something today." And within an hour, he was in the presence of the Lord. And I thought, oh, dear. Who am I to say I'm done? Who am I? The question today is, why is the body of Christ and the church so ineffective in the world? Everything else is effective. But why are the body, the general body, not this church, but the body of Christ church? Why is it we do not exhibit that love? I don't think I had ever known of the true love of the body until I came to this place that first time. And I'm like, these are weird people. They're really different from anything I had known. And I was here, 7, 8 years ago, the first time, I think. I've been saved, as I said, almost 60 years. And all of my church experience, I have known only 2 or 3 situations where God's love was exhibited and truly present unconditionally. Bible Tabernacle is one of them. A new ministry in Lebanon, Ohio is another one. They've come to my rescue since Joe passed away. I didn't even hardly know them. They've been there for me. I mean, I don't know how to drive a tractor. I have no idea how to drive a tractor. I don't want to know how to drive a tractor at my age. But I've got about 6 acres of grass to cut. Help, Lord. The Lord met my need. He brought this brother who has 12 acres of his own, a wife, 16 grandchildren, and yet he comes once a week. He met my need. Praise God. And then there's another group that the Lord led me to that has been there for me. The pastor's awesome. Long story to share about him, but he's kind of like a Brother Phil here. That's all good. It's okay. He's a Yankee, you know. He's from the Bronx, New York. And he's a beautiful brown man who was in the Catholic Church but came to know the Lord. And the Holy Spirit filled him to a point where it's amazing the love of Jesus that comes through that gentleman. And the core of his church is the same way. It's a small work, but God's doing incredible work. There's a huge power in every life for knowing the unconditional love of God. I don't think I ever really understood unconditional love. You know, saved, sanctified, set free, then filled with the Holy Spirit, and serving the Lord, all that. Okay, love is good. I talked about the love of God. I sang about the love of God. I shared the love of God with everybody. I shared the gospel in Kenya. I ministered to women who had been abused from birth. All of those things. But I don't think I truly, truly have understood the depth of that love until recently. And I'm just being honest with you, okay? I'm an old girl. I'll be 84 in October. I've only just begun. And I am going to quote Brother Phil in this one. I am persuaded that many of the true believers left in the world are slumbering in dead churches, put to sleep by false doctrines about the second coming, surrounded by lost church members. Sound familiar? Okay. God's people need to wake up. This is not Phil, this is Jay. As never before, we need to be led by his love. We've never been this way before, you said. We need his wisdom, his grace, his provision is all what we need. And I added to Brother Phil's, his love and true understanding of what that love is what we need. If we don't have that, then we are useless. Just recently, last week, I went to this new pastor friend. He's about a 60-some-year-old guy. Like I said, a Yankee from New York, and had lunch with him. We talked, and I said, what percentage of your congregation or any congregation that you're familiar with understands the true, unconditional love of God? And he thought for a second, and he said, about 20 or 30%. Wow. David Wilkerson said before he died, you're never going to look for or go after the true revelation of God's love for you until you become sick and tired of living with fear, guilt, condemnation, and confusion. There's a lot of confusion out there today. And this seems to represent a large portion of the church. If only 20 to 30% of the church understands the love, that leads 70 to 80% are doing what? That's why we're not effective. That's why Islam is still the fastest growing religion in the world. Until we believe and understand God's love for us and encompass it, what does it mean to embrace that love? I'm new at this. I want you to understand. Through all the difficulties in my relationship with Joe, the sweet brother that interviewed Joe before we got married, I said, he'd been my counselor brother, pastor friend for years. I said, what do you think? He said, well, it's a story that we couldn't have written. It's a marriage made in heaven, but so was thunder and lightning. And my first husband was a lot like Brother Carl. Quiet. I saw him angry in 58 years and full of frustration because he couldn't fix me. He didn't even get angry at all the bad things that happened in Africa. He just kept on going. But he loved me unconditionally. Did I understand it? No. We will not be able to survive the coming days unless we are rooted and grounded in what? What's the verse say, brother? In love. Do we read that, or we just read the whole thing, go on? And so what does that love look like? Okay, Jane, what does this love look like? God gave me the ability, through all the difficulties of two older people coming from long lives, meeting together like volcano eruptions sometimes, to love Joe unconditionally. Even though I didn't really know and understand, I just knew that that was what I was supposed to do. In the past few years, with losing a brother, a daughter, two husbands, and my favorite dog, and all that's gone on in my life, I found myself saying, this doesn't feel like love. This does not feel like God's love. And I didn't even realize this, even though I lived on the, quote, the cutting, according to Don Matheny, cutting edge of witchcraft in all of Kenya for 30 years, I didn't realize we were in spiritual warfare because it looked different here. Brother Carl was the one that said to me on the telephone, Jane, you're in spiritual warfare. Coming from Kenya, coming from everything Joe had been through, everything I had been through, all of our lives all brought together, the enemy was bombarding us in every direction. Even a death curse that had been put on me from some of those on the continent. It doesn't feel like love. It doesn't feel like your love, God. You brought Joe into my life. Here I'm an old lady, and here somebody loves me again. Wow. What woman do you know that can say she was loved unconditionally by two men in her life? Some of them don't even get one. And yet God loved me enough to send me two men that loved me unconditionally. Through all this time, I've had to remind myself over and over again, it's not a feeling, it's a fact. God's love is a fact. He is love. He just doesn't have love or give love. He is love. What is love? What does it look like? The world's got it all screwed up. God so loved that he gave. What did he give? He loved me so much without condition. For our African brother, bila masharti. Is that right, brother? Bila masharti, without condition. I've been struggling over and over again, periodically. Grief is different with Joe because he was my soulmate and I was his soulmate. And struggling over and over again, Lord, it doesn't feel like love. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I go back each time, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. 1 John 4:16 in the Amplified says, and we know, understand, recognize and are conscious of by observation and experience and believe, adhere to, put in faith the love of God, the love that God cherishes for us. Do we know that love? Do we understand it? Do we believe it? Do we know he cherishes? What is it like to be cherished? Look up the word. Many sit in church, raise their hands and worship. And rejoice. They read the word. They pray. But they have heavy loads. I bet everyone here has some sort of a heavy load they're carrying tonight. Some have loads of condemnation, fear, and guilt. Still sitting here praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Some's real, some's not. Do you know what it is like to be completely free? Totally free in what he has for you, the plan that he has for you. Many have trouble receiving God's love and applying it to their life. One of the most difficult things I've understood since Joe passed away is the Christians that have come to my aid is I kept telling him, I don't think I know how to receive this kind of love. Only place I've ever experienced it is in North Carolina with those awesome people. And I'm like, I've been through several church situations where, let's just say they weren't very positive, to be kind. And the true depth of love of Jesus was not obvious to me. And I kept thinking, okay, Lord, I didn't know how to receive the love these people were giving me. I said, just bear with me. I'll get there. And all of this while the grief fog is real. If you haven't had it, I'll explain to you later. It's real. It's not dementia. Many have been saved for years, but truly confess they don't understand being loved by God. This is why the church is not being what God wants it to be, fulfilling the call that God has. If you love me, keep my commandments. The gospel's been so watered down in so many places that it's okay. It's okay if you do this or do that or live together or whatever. We need to wake up. In Ephesians 3:17-19, May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That you may have power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with God's devoted people the experience of that love. What is breadth and length and height and depth? That you may really come to practically throughout experience in your life, know the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through your richest being unto all the fullness of God. That you may have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body filled with and flooded with God himself. The relationship Brother was talking about. Paul was speaking to Christians at Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, what did John say about the church of Ephesus? They had lost their first love. Many, many individual Christians and churches have lost their first love. I've got a zillion scriptures here about love, what it is. I've preached every one of them in Kenya. What does it look like? How does it feel? And yet I have come recently to understand I didn't know much about the love of God. And Joe and I both grew up in very dysfunctional families, different types of things. But because of the wounds in our life, and most of us have been wounded somewhere by something, by parents, by friends, by church, by whatever. And so our picture of the love of God is tainted. We don't see it truly for what it is. Joe was 72 until he came to understand what the love of Jesus really was all about. Where do you stand? Where do I stand in this understanding? I want to close with a story, a true story. My brother was a special guy. I hadn't seen him for quite some time. We had been separated because of distance and everything. And I knew that he had been a pastor for 15 years. And then he left the pastorate to become a doctoral counselor, got his doctorate in counseling, opened a large counseling center in Daytona Beach, Florida. Graduated from an extremely liberal seminary. That was not a slip of the tongue. But when a friend asked him what his theology was, he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know." I thought, wow. Some months before he died, I saw him in Daytona. And I asked him, "Dan, where do you stand with Jesus?" My evangelistic heart wanted to know, this liberal dude. And he seemed a bit offended. He said, "If you don't know after 35 years of what I've done, there's something wrong." I said, "Well, Dan, I haven't known you for the 35 years. We've been continents apart. We haven't had an opportunity to share." He seemed to accept that for a moment. And then about 2 months later, I was headed to Virginia for a missions conference, and I got a phone call. And he says, "Are you okay with me?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay with you. How about you with me?" He said, "Yes, except for one thing." He said, "I want you to know, not only do I know Jesus as my Savior, but as the Lord of my life, and I know Jesus loved me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. God so loved that he gave." Richard understood, my first husband. My brother understood love of Jesus. Joe understood and exhibited it. He loved me with a love I had never known in many areas. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that love? That's my challenge to you. And I stand here, I'll be 84 years old in October, saved 60 years in February. And it's only been in the past few months that I've really begun to understand to a greater depth the love of Jesus, the love of God, and how effective that can be. I shared with one of my doctor friends from Nairobi Hospital, shared at Christmas the fact that Joe had passed away. And I said the same thing I said earlier, how, you know, two women a woman can be so fortunate to have two men love her. And this lady that I would never have expected to say anything, we'd been friends on a professional basis, and she said to me, but Jane, you're easy to love. And I thought, with all my barbs and all of my complaints and all of my weaknesses, I'm easy to love? But you know what? Jesus loved me with all of them. Just like you said, brother, I challenge you. When I point to you, there are three here. This isn't me. This is not just you. This has been a burden on my heart. And I squirmed over there. I didn't want to get up, especially be the first one. But I felt with what Brother Phil said that it was vitally important. You can't go forward in your life, young people particularly, but us older guys even. You cannot go forward and be effective in the Christian life the way God wants you to be effective until you understand that love of Jesus, the love of God and relationship with the Father, the Daddy. Crawl up on his lap. Some of us never had a daddy. Some of us had a daddy who was corrupt. Some of us have dads that were evil. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Sing it, come on.
Yes, Jesus.
This is a thought which came to my mind this morning while meditating. Moses, for 40 years, he was caring for the sheep belonged to his father-in-law. It is at that time that God called him to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt and to go to the promised land. Moses was hesitant and he found excuses not to go. But God called him. What you have in your hand, that's a rod that he cared for the sheep, a rod. Put that down. When he put that down, rod down, that rod was able to conquer the devilish powers. When Moses got that rod back, it was a different rod. What we had previously was his self. But when he put that down, his self, and gave to God, God gave him a new rod. That is a miracle-working road, powerful road. Because of that power, he was able to divide the Red Sea. With that road, new road, he was able to pressure the Pharaoh to let the people go from the bondage and worship the God, the real living God. That road smote the rockets, a rock, and the water gushed out of it. It's a miracle-working road. God has given us a road, his word. That's very powerful. When we go with his road, new road, not ourself, but his God's self, it will work miracle. He did a miracle in Horeb. Water rushed about it. God, I thank God for that road and the power of the word of God, which makes miracles in the lives of so many thousands of people. I'm very happy that I could come to this conference, this convention. And thank you, Brother Phil and all of this for letting me come. I have a very comfortable stay with the Debbie and her family. Plenty of food. No one will go hungry in their home. Praise God. I thank you all for making me come. Okay?
Hello. Let me say something before I bring greetings from home. Before I forget, life is a journey, like my brother and sister said. And it's a dangerous journey. It's a road filled with landmines, explosives, snakes and dangerous animals, mountains and holes. And it is a journey that each one of us must make. Let me ask you a question. If somebody comes along and hands you a manual and he tells you that this manual will help you navigate your way through this road, this manual will tell you exactly where the landmines are so that you can avoid them. This manual will tell you where the dangerous snakes are. And in fact, this manual contains medicine that will help you if you happen to be bitten by a snake. Now, I don't think you are going to throw away this manual and disregard it. Keep it somewhere. No. Your attitude towards this manual will help you because it is life and death situation. God has given us his book, like my brother say. He has called us. He has equipped us. He has sent us to go. We have no excuse. Because all we need is in his word. That is where our protection lies. That is where our strength lies. That is where we get medicine when we are sick. It will help us navigate through life, through difficult situations. So we thank God for His word. Receive greetings from home, Kenya, from my family, from the church, from all the assemblies that we have been able to start back home. I will share that later as we continue in this convention. Thank you for praying for us. Sometimes you think your prayers are insignificant. Let me tell you, your prayers are important to us. When you pray, great things happen in our country. When you pray, we are able to put food on the table. Thank you for your prayers, folks. And again, thank you for your sacrificial giving that has enabled us to do what we have done. May God bless you. We love you. And we always pray for you. Do not disregard the word of God. That is our lifeline. Don't get discouraged. Keep on keeping on. Because the one who loves us told us and always tell us that I will never forsake you. And I will never leave you. So we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to back down. Because God loves us and is there for us and with us to strengthen us and to encourage us. And we are more than conquerors. All the way to heaven. God bless you.
Praise God. I appreciate the Lord's presence here tonight. Lord, help us to see your love for us. I had one scripture here that was on my heart. I think Phil may have referenced it, but it says, "For this very reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you." He has qualified you and me tonight, folks, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. We have a lot to be thankful for, folks. I'm thankful for God's love for us. Lord, let your love reign in our hearts, because that is what changes people's lives. It is. It's just the fact of the matter. And the only way that love can live through us, we have to experience His love for us. I guarantee you this, if you've never experienced it, ask God. He will show you His love. He will make it real to you, because when it's real to us, it is real to other people that we come into contact with. Praise God. I appreciate everything that's been shared here tonight. Appreciate our brothers here and sister sharing. Is there anything else that needs to be added here? Well, praise God. Let's be in prayer for our services. Let's get alone with the Lord this week and just talk to Him. Ask Him to give us what we need. He wants to take us further, like we've heard here. Praise God. Let's be dismissed.